Welcome to the My Wife is Going to Kill Me podcast.
The podcast where me and my friends talk about the number one thing that makes our wives want to kill us. Toy collecting.
Shut up!
With Travis Bowles.
I am looking at you two fat bastards right now, and I'm like, there's no way people in America are going hungry.
Well, my son told me today that he didn't like hot dogs. How could you not like wieners? You just keep the wieners coming. What any chance?
Pete McCarthy.
Comes with two sets of hands, because sometimes you need gloves, sometimes you don't. The AIDS epidemic in Africa, hunger in the United States, and not having spare hands.
They just want to destroy villages, and that's all I've ever wanted to do.
And your host, Steve Bisciotti.
Chicks love to show their body off. It's the only thing they got nowadays. She was married to Roger Rabbit, so she had his last name. She obviously wasn't going to hyphenate because she's a real woman.
So what if my favorite toys just happen to be half-naked muscular men? Welcome back, everybody, to episode 104 of the My Wife is Gonna Kill Me podcast. I'm your host, Steve Bisciotti. And with me today, as always, are the two best co-hosts a host could have. Starting with a man off to my left, Pete McCarthy. How you doing, Pete?
I'm doing very good, thank you.
Now, is it your thing that when I'm going to introduce you to shove something into your mouth?
You know, it's important that the listeners understand that that's not a bit. It's just the odds of you talking to me when I'm shoving something into my mouth is just very likely.
It is.
Because I'm always putting something in my mouth.
The percentage is high.
Uh-huh.
And also with me today, as always, the man off to my right, Travis Bowles. How you doing, Trav?
Wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in your basement. Not the first time.
I need to spend some more time in this basement looking around.
Yeah, things are a little bit...
I definitely think you should come in your basement more often.
Things are a little bit unorganized as things are at the moment in this basement.
Yeah, it looks like mass chaos. Yeah. I mean, that table over there looked like a bomb went off.
We still managed to fit five guys and Rodriguez with his ego in here, though, last week. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, very nice. That was a good episode. That was fun.
It was. And now Matt's got advice for us all over Facebook about what we should be doing and how we should be doing things. And
right.
So he really struggles not being in the driver's seat of something.
Right. I like it when he says those things. Yeah. And I haven't listened to your guys' podcast, so I don't know if you've already done this or not, but maybe you should do this. It's like, dude, you didn't even listen.
Right. I was kind of waiting for him to go, hey, could I just pay you guys to do the podcast, but then call it my podcast? But I decided not to.
All right. Well, we got a big episode today. We put out a call to action to the fans. To all you victims out there where your wives are trying to kill you, you know, we understand, but we had to call out for help, and we had to see, you know, we needed some topics, and boy, did they respond. We've got a ton of them.
Is she vacuuming? Is that what that noise is? I thought you had one of those cool little robots.
Yeah, and she also bought a new vacuum today besides that one, too.
Wow, she's really into cleanliness.
Yep.
We're in Travis's basement, and it sounds like a bunch of ruckus is happening above us. I'm sure you can't hear that, but that's what Pete's talking about. Heidi's up there vacuuming like women should be doing. just short of making some food, some sandwiches. Bring those down. That'd be nice, too. I'm just kidding. All right. Anyways, yeah. So we got a ton of listener questions. What do you think, guys? Should we do some thanks UPS guy and then jump into those?
Whatever you guys want to do.
All right. I think it sounds good to me.
All right. Well, unless you got toy drama that we need to attend to first.
You know, I just got a couple little quick things.
I get excited about toy drama. I don't know about you guys,
it's grown on me. In the beginning, I was a little bit like shaky on it, but now it's got a little bit of.
Anytime I get an excuse to insult someone, I'm down. So recently,
the Foosh Articulated Icons got some more stock back into their stores, and they went back up. And I don't know if you guys know how these usually work. People get pissed. All kinds of issues. The store goes down. You know, it's pretty common, especially newer. I mean, it's not Hasbro. You know, it's not some big company. So this goes down, and
this stuff happens to Hasbro.
Yeah, exactly.
And Mattel. It happens to everybody.
It happens.
Right. Technology is exactly that. So
a guy gets his stuff. Brian gets his items, and he got a Red Ninja. Which, if you haven't seen these Red Ninjas, they are beautiful. Okay, and he says, it doesn't look like the right hood mold. Was this a known issue? And he posts a picture of the advertised. Steve, you already see where this is going, don't you?
Yeah, I
and
think I know
what his hood looks like.
I think I know. What a knucklehead here.
So Pete is looking at the picture, and I will tell you, if you compare his picture to the hooded Red Ninja in the for sale,
they're very, very different.
Very different.
You guys obviously have some insight into this. I look at those and I go, that guy got swindled. Just at face value, looking at the post.
Yeah. And you know what? That guy is not alone in believing that, too. A lot of people who got these Red Ninjas felt the same way.
Yeah. I would be very upset if that's the way it looked. But, you see, if he were to remove the head and put the part that the face is looking through over the neck where it's supposed to go and readjust that hood, it would look exactly like the picture. That
oh,
is next
please
to it.
Tell me he's got him looking through the neck hole.
He does.
Oh, that is so good. What is his name? Wow, you are a dum dum.
Now, I will tell you, Brian is not alone.
Right. Okay. You see the edit?
Yeah, yeah.
It says, edit, I'm a noob.
Yep. After, of course, there was a lot of ha ha ha's and people right. commenting. You know, a lot of people saying, hey, I did the same exact thing.
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff.
The only reason I didn't do that same thing. I didn't open my figure.
I haven't opened my Red Ninjas either. yeah. Also, our closed group, My Wife is Going to Kill Me. If you're not a member and you would like to join, please do so. Tim Sawyer joined. The question to get in, of course, name your favorite host of the podcast. And he said, Steve. I want to feed him Orcos while he plays with his fisto.
Yes, must be a listener of that is Podcasters of the Universe.
Disgusting.
And that wraps it up.
Awesome.
All right. Well, I think it's time.
All right. Thanks, FedEx guy. Notice we've taken a little bit of a turn on that. We've got a friend in the toy community going through some personal struggles. And in honor of him, we're going to say thanks, FedEx guy. For the next few episodes and kind of let him know we're thinking about him and see him through some dark times. So we're thinking about you, buddy. And Travis, what'd you get, bud?
Well, I ordered from right from Dork, Dark Side Toys. I ordered the, gosh, I don't even know. It's the Avengers 2 wave, I guess is what it's called. But it is the wave that Kyle brought in a couple figures last week. Kyle brought in the Black Knight and what was the other one he brought in?
I thought it was Ant-Man.
No, I think it was Black Widow.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yep, Black Widow. So I brought in the remaining figures to take a look at. And that includes Thor from the movie Avengers. It's got Ant-Man and Wasp. Ant-Man with that sneering Paul Rudd face. And Pete is actually holding the Build-A-Figure now.
Call Obsidian, is that correct? No, this is Glaive. Corvus
nope,
Glaive?
Nope, that's Cull Obsidian.
Okay.
Yep. Black Dwarf, I think. No, not Black Dwarf. Cull Obsidian, yep.
This thing is amazing.
Yeah.
It really is.
So this is the giant figure from Thanos' children, and he is just a big beast.
I will say I'm a little bit disappointed they didn't have some sort of a chain element to his axe.
Yeah,
that would have been pretty cool. You know.
Also, I think I want to be honest. I think it's a little bit more based on the comic book character rendition of him than the actual movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, he looks
spectacular.
Yeah.
So, but if you only knew the movie and saw this, I could see you go. If it was more comic book, I could see you going, eh.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
But.
Yep.
That's really cool, man.
Yeah, he's a big old beast, ain't he?
Yep.
Yeah, I was really impressed with the size. We talked a little bit about it last week because Kyle had two of the pieces, but when you actually put them together, and man, the texture and what they did with his, you know, just making him look like a big scaled beast. Yep. I'm pretty impressed.
It just, and those are the baffs that make me upset about the red onslaughts and that kind of stuff where you're like, eh, come on. My what's my tiger with the gun arm?
Yeah, Titus.
You know? So that head is absolutely phenomenal.
I love it.
I'm looking at the Paul Rudd, kind of the sneering head. You guys all know, listeners, I've said it 1,000 times, Ant-Man is still in my number one slot. I would anticipate, at this point, the only thing knocking out of that slot is Ant-Man and Wasp, depending on how that goes. But I love Paul Rudd, and I just, that captures his character, and it captures, you know, the Paul Rudd aspect of him bringing Scott Lang to life. And that is just a great figure, man. Just a great figure.
Yeah, I was pretty darn impressed with that. I also, you know, the Wasp figure is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I think they did a good job with her. Face looks great.
You know, I think she's so much hotter without a ponytail.
Really?
I like her with her hair down.
Yeah.
You know? But it's obviously longer in this movie, you know? So, yep. But that is cool.
Yeah, wings look neat. The Thor, I think, is really good, too. I actually really like the Thor. I kind of thought that the Thor that came out in the 2-pack was going to be my, you know, definite Marvel or Marvel movie Thor. But, man, this one's pretty sweet.
I just noticed that if you look at her boobs and her abdomen, it kind of looks like she has a penis on her chest. Is that a new thing?
Wait, what? A penis?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's a penis.
Yep, that totally is.
How did they miss that? Somebody should start a Facebook war about it.
And then the last one, which is Malik, which is it's straight up the comic version, the Dark Elf. And I actually really think this is sweet, but I'll tell you what I really like about it is I look at this as a ton of custom fodder. And when my Mythic Legions come out, I'm going to be able to make a bunch of Dark Elves because I got a feeling he's going to be a peg warmer.
Right.
And I'll be able to get a lot of him cheap, hopefully.
Do you know how small that noggin is compared to a Mythic Legion's noggin?
I do know that, but if you put a bunch of him painted, you know, painted dark colors, and you put a bunch of him, don't you think he could be a foot soldier that could be soldiers for the Dark Elves?
You know, they do make army builders in Mythic Legions that you can have.
Yeah, he bought those too.
Soldiers.
I got a few of them, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah.
I know. I mean, it's
I think
cool
Travis
figure.
Needs.
I know nothing about
all right.
It.
That's a bad guy.
I think Travis needs an intervention.
Yeah. I may need an intervention.
He's got like a semi truck full of Mythic Legions coming, and he's still trying to, like, I could put this in there. I mean, I don't have the room for all the stuff I've already got, but my gosh, I got to go scouring the stores and raiding the clearance racks to add to my Mythic Legions ranks.
I can't. Can't deny that.
That are all just tipped over all over the table just because cats won't leave them alone.
Laying all over the place. And then last but not least, I got my Beast of the Mesozoic. This was a Kickstarter on Facebook.
Oh, sweet.
And they were raptors. It's just really this dude who's an artist, you know, and he's like, you know what? I want to make some dinosaurs. And so he started his own little Kickstarter, and I opened one of them. And I got two more. I don't think I made it in on the Kickstarter. I think if I remember right, I missed out on that. But then they had, you know, some that went to the store, and I was able to purchase a couple of those. The thing about these raptors, they do not look like your raptors from Jurassic Park. They are much more like from the mindset of that raptors looked much more bird.
Yeah, they're much more like from the prehistoric history books.
Yes, they're feathered. I mean, I love
beaks.
Them. Beaks. Yeah, they're some of them have straight up beaks and some of them have little look more like snouts, but I bought one of the beak ones at least, or maybe two, because I thought it looked awesome.
Yeah, these are very, very cool.
Packaged really well. I'm really excited because what he's been teasing now is he's starting to do like, and I can't remember the name of the actual dinosaur, but it looks like a Triceratops, and he's doing those now, and that's what.
It's not a. It looks like a Triceratops, but it's not a Triceratops.
No, there's some other dinosaurs that were like Triceratops was the biggest of like the three horned.
Oh, okay.
And then there was smaller and maybe didn't have three horns. They'd only have one or you know something okay. along those lines.
I want like an Ankylosaurus.
Well, and that's
with the like the mace on the tail,
and
kind of you know
what
armored.
I'm thinking what's gonna happen.
Stegosaurus, all the plated armor and stuff.
Dude, I'll be all over those.
Can I see that other one?
Yep.
What's the price point on those, Trav?
Honestly, I can't remember.
Okay, listeners, I'm going to put a poll up in the next after this. I'm going to give 24 hours after this show goes up, and I want to know how many people are so full up in their pocketbooks that they just buy things all the time and never know how much they actually spent. Like, who lives like that? It must be nice. He's worked 4 months out of the last year and a half. And he's just with, hey, how much did you pay for that? Yeah, I don't remember. I punch in some numbers and boxes show up. I don't know. It's crazy. It's crazy.
What do you think about them, Steven?
I think they're pretty cool. I like them. They're well painted. They're well sculpted. They feel like it's good quality plastic in your hands. I like that they give you like this little display stand. And it has, colored and it looks like it could be part of Earth or you know the ground. I think you're gonna need those to get those things to stand.
Oh yeah, I don't think they're gonna stand without them.
But they're really neat. I think if you like dinosaurs and you like that sort of stuff, or you're a big like Jurassic Park guy or something, those are something.
Or if you're a big Mythic Legions guy, then you put these in. Like, I have Raptor Warriors. Like
well, yeah,
leashes
because,
and what
because
have
there's
you.
Not especially you know? If you're a guy that doesn't have enough. To fill up his complete house of Mythic Legions.
Right.
And you're already spilling
and
over
an unlimited
your racks.
Pocketbook.
Yeah. Yep. If
I'll take 47 of them. You didn't ask the price, sir. Yeah, I know. I'll take 47. You know what? Make it an even 50 so the box you fits didn't. Right.
Yep.
The reason I asked that question about the price point was that Pearson would go nuts, but at $40 a figure, that's not a feasible thing for kids, you know what I mean?
If I had to guess, I would say they were 35, but that is a straight up guess. No idea.
God, we live different lives.
We do. Yeah, I'm pretty oblivious.
Well, the Marvel Legends are sweet. The dinosaurs are cool. But when is that wave of Marvel Legends with the Venom and when's that coming?
There's been pictures of people holding them in their hands.
Yep.
And they flipped the boxes and made the boxes white. They look fucking awesome.
They do. It's pre-order. There hasn't even been pre-orders up for them yet.
They're not. They Diamond doesn't even have them up as pre-order yet.
But they're showing up overseas, which has been kind of a common certain waves. They've been doing that. You know, and that's kind of how they're doing it. You know, they're releasing all these waves at once, what we believe because of the internet. But distribution-wise, they're not. They're releasing them here and here.
But because of our global economy that we live in, everybody's knowing about it at the same time.
And to be honest, like, I don't know if my friend Ron, who's in the Air Force, he's overseas. He just posted a picture of his haul today. He got the Midbar Mud.
Yeah.
The Stormtrooper.
Right.
That's, you know.
From the Solo movie that's covered in mud.
Covered in mud. And it looks beautiful. I ain't seen. That's not here.
Right.
You know, it's just not. It's not even up for order, as far as I know. You know, so I mean, it's just kind of the way they're doing stuff now. I think.
Mm-hmm. Pretty cool. That wave of Legends will be the first wave in quite a while that I'm going to hunt down every damn one of them. And
because you love for Venom. Because
I love Venom and I like Carnage. Just every figure I see, it's just really, it's like a must have.
Even Spider Pork.
Yeah. You know, Peter Porker. Isn't that the, I do want that. And I'll tell you why I do want that. Because this is a good Hobby Lobby Chris Middlecamp story. Back when we were in high school together, me and him had advanced biology together. And Chris was my partner for the Dissect a Pig thing. And, you know, it was over multiple days. So you would cut out the heart or whatever today and blah, blah, blah. And then you would put your pig back in like a refrigerator or something. And you had to name your pig so you knew which pig was yours. And we named ours Peter Porker, the Amazing Spider Ham. And we put that, I'll never forget that. So yeah, I want that.
I love it.
Yeah. Me and old Hobby Lobby back in the day.
Back in the day. It's a good haul.
Yeah. So perfect.
What about you, Steve?
I got nothing. That's 2 weeks in a row. Nothing for me. I'm in a drought. I got to get my iPad fixed. And, yeah.
It's an iPad, Coral. I got you an iPad.
I don't know what you're talking about.
When Carl lost his eye on The Walking Dead, there was all these great memes. And it was always Rick, but it was always calling him Coral because of the way he talks.
Yes, Coral.
And Coral, I got you that gift you've been wanting. It's an iPad. An iPad, Coral. It was just really funny.
Got it.
So. Which, totally out of the blue right now, that show's falling apart. Maggie's leaving. Rick's leaving. Michonne's up after this season. They're talking about making Daryl the primary. It's going to, the wheels are falling off. They need to end it.
Okay, let me ask you this, though. I mean, not to get super sidebarred, but so what has been reported is that Rick's going to be in 6 episodes. Okay. And people are jumping on that means Rick is leaving. Done. How many episodes is a season?
For Walking Dead? 12 or 13, I think.
Okay. So how often was Rick in this season?
I didn't watch it.
I mean, well, there was episodes where Rick wasn't even in it.
There has been many of episodes.
Yeah, and there's a lot of
years.
A lot of sidebar stories, a lot of, you know.
Right, right. And, like, they'll do an episode where it's just Rick and Michonne.
Right.
You know, and I'm kind of wondering if maybe that's a little bit of what is actually going on and people are jumping the gun and freaking out and this is what's happening.
Or maybe, you know, it could be, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's leaving the show, just like what you're getting at. But it could be a story thing where Rick goes missing for a while. Or, you know what I mean? It doesn't... I was thinking the same thing and along the same lines. It doesn't necessarily... Unless there is news out there that he is actually done.
I mean, how ridiculous is it for a show that is based on suspense...
Yeah, to come out and broadcast that.
Yeah, to broadcast that. That doesn't make any sense to me.
But the reason, like the Maggie and that kind of stuff, that all came out because an advertiser, she's starring in a brand new show, and they were unable to meet contract negotiations. So I mean, there is some stuff as far as outside the world of the writers that they may not be able to keep quiet. As far as I'm concerned, The Walking Dead is Herschel's wife, and or whatever. She's out in the barn. It's a walker, and well, we're gonna fix it someday. No, you're not. Go out to the barn and put it down. It's time. So.
Yeah.
I will say I've enjoyed this last season.
I tell you what, it's one of those, and I've said this to Pete, I think, I'm not motivated to sit down and watch it, but when I do, I like it.
Exactly. Same thing here. We've got 2 episodes left, right. And while, yes, I want to watch them, the rest of my family's like, eh, so it's like, okay, well, sometime we will, but I don't know when it's going to be, and we watch them, and I enjoy it. But I don't have that feeling like I used to where I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait.
There's been some episodes where I literally am fast-forwarding through to get to the commercials. I'm over it,
to get
man.
To the commercials.
You don't have to have the camera on somebody's face that long while they're staring this way. And I just feel like it's just a total money grab now, and it just bothers me. Because it's such great source material. But my Rick... Andrew Grimes is not my Rick. I'm sorry. And maybe I'm a little bit bitter. But where I'm at in the comic books, and cover your ears if you're, you know, but at the end of the day, he's old. And he's got a gray beard, and he's missing a hand, and he limps because his leg was shattered. And he doesn't go out and fight anymore. He's, you know, in charge of this, and it's, I don't know. I think it's just time. I'd hate to see, you know, Dexter. They could have cut that a little bit shorter and changed everybody's mind. Breaking Bad, I'm not there yet. I'm only in end of season three. But from what everybody said, everything I've read, they did the right thing and they let it go when it was time to let it go. Sons of Anarchy, I thought pretty close. They probably could have cut that back a little bit, but when it was time to end, they brought it to an end. They didn't just drag it out because it was popular and they wanted to make more money. And I feel like that's what The Walking Dead has become. But I won't beat that dead horse anymore.
So. Man. I was just playing with this wasp figure while Pete was
the chest penis
droning on. Man, she's got a body. Look at this.
Oh, she got
this.
A sweet
look
ass.
Look at this. She is hot.
I like the way they articulated the wings, too.
I do.
You know, four wings that all move independently of each other.
Well, she is. I mean, she's a beautiful woman.
I know, but that don't mean they necessarily will make a beautiful toy of the beautiful woman, and they did.
Did you guys really inspect? I don't know if when Kyle was here, did you inspect the Black Widow?
I did not.
No. She wasn't out of the package, was she?
Maybe he just pulled the bath.
He just bath pieces out.
I mean, it's a really nice figure, considering it's a figure that we've had, you know, but they added just a couple little things.
One I like, and I like the updated outfit, you know.
Yep.
Hmm. Yeah, the blonde hair. I didn't really like the blonde hair, even in the movie. I wish Black Widow would stay redhead.
Honestly, she could have gone the way of Okoye, and I'd still hit it. So,
not me. I mean, well, yeah, I'd still hit it, but you know.
Oh, they did come with. She comes with a wasp helmet.
She does come with a wasp helmet, and he did also come with an Ant-Man mask.
You got to pose these figures, these women. You got to give them, like, their knees slightly turned in. Make them look, like, very unpowerful, because that's how they look in real life. And really adds to the feminine stance. You see that?
Speaking of dead horses.
Just does.
You know, I will say that neck's a little long with the helmet on.
The helmet, yeah. I didn't notice that at all with the head.
So.
Let me see.
Maybe it's not on all the way. I'm not.
We'll feels get, like it is.
I thought so. But
yeah.
But then again, too, the head has more of a chin drop to it, which might mask that a little bit.
Yeah, I think if you look at it, like if you look at it straight on, it don't look too bad.
Yep.
I like it. They're doing it, man. Legends are doing really great job with their figures.
Amazing stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, Hasbro, I mean, between these and the Star Wars Black stuff. I mean, they're kicking out some great stuff.
They are.
Yeah.
Totally. Pete, you got nothing? You got something? What's going on?
I couldn't find it. Cody cleaned the shop, but I did. I got four new Mighty Max Doom Zones. Well, take that back. I got three new ones, and I got one that I already had, but the tail was a little bit broken on mine, so I got a nicer one. First time that I did a off-eBay deal, like found something on eBay. And I just happened to Google, or I went to Facebook and looked up the company, and they had a Facebook page. So I sent him a private message, and I said, hey, you know, are you willing to do a deal off of eBay? And he said, absolutely. So, I mean, I took a risk, of course, because, you know, I sent somebody money I didn't know. But, like, you know, he's got 5,000 good reviews on eBay. He's got a professional store and logo Facebook. I thought, well, you know what? Here we go.
Probably safe.
So, yeah, and I thought so, and... You know, they were all included shipping prices, 20, 25, 25, and 30. And so I offered him 80 shipped. So I got $5 off a piece. So $80, he shipped them to my door. And so I got a little bit worried because it took a couple of days. I hadn't heard from him. So I get on to send him a message, double check with him. And I'd missed a message from him that said, hey, man, your PayPal doesn't have an address, so I don't know where I'm supposed to ship these. That would be my fault. So I sent him my address, and 4 or 5 days later, they showed up. So packed nice, in good shape. So
nice.
But yeah, so Walking Dead Toys, I believe, was the name.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so that was it. Like I said, I couldn't find them to bring them in because Cody tidied up. And when it's not a mess, I don't know where my shit's at. So.
Makes sense.
Yep.
All right. Moving on. Are we going to go to listener questions?
Sounds good.
All right.
You want me to read those, Pete?
Yeah, if you want to, go ahead.
Okay. Pete threw out the question to our fans. Is that what we would call them? Are they fans?
Yeah.
Victims.
Yeah, I like victims better.
Victims might be better.
Yeah.
Might be a lot better, actually. We got quite a bunch of quite a bit of people threw in their opinions. Let me see if I can find him. I'm doing some digging here.
Yeah, he's doing some stalling too, some stammering.
You know,
he's over there just
not showing up right away to me here.
Fingering his phone.
All right. So here's how the question went. Recording episode 104 or 105. I don't remember, but I do know that it is tomorrow. Listener questions, toy drama, what should we talk about? Should Pete get off his ass and do a top 10? Top 10 what? Help. 19 comments.
19?
That's got to be close to our most ever.
It's a lot. Jeremy DeWitt says, 104. If the X-Men were introduced into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, how should they do it? And should it be with the current first-class actors, the original actors, or all new ones? What do you guys think?
Jeez, Trav, I really wanted to know what you thought. You're the X-Men guy.
I will tell you right now, I would love it if they did they introduced the MCU, the X-Men in the MCU. I would prefer that they recast them. But I still want McAvoy.
And Fassbender.
Those
two, they got to be there.
Yep. I want them. I want
Kelsey Grammer. I gotta have him.
I actually like the kid playing Beast.
Me too.
I don't mind the young X-Men role thing. It doesn't bother me.
So who do you want recast?
Everybody else.
Okay.
Hugh Jackman's gonna be Wolverine. I'm down with that.
Right.
I want him back.
Right.
I gotta have
Lee Schreiber. That's my saber tooth.
Oh, he's a great saber tooth. Yep.
Oh, Storm. I mean, I'm not gonna ever say no to Halle Berry ever in the history of the world, but she might be getting up there in age where it's not as possible.
Yeah.
But who would be a good Storm?
I didn't really care for the last girl.
They did replace her. Yeah.
They did. Yeah.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
In what movie? In Apocalypse.
The one with Apocalypse.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, that's my fault. Keep the girl that's doing Mystique. I love her.
Oh yeah, she's good. Know? Keep her.
Anytime I can see Peter Dinklage, I'm down.
So I guess that's part of it, too, is maybe you got to keep everybody. And I could get by. You know, the kid playing Cyclops, I wasn't a huge fan of. But he's not a bad actor.
Bring back James Marsden.
I love James Marsden. I love James
Marsden. Yeah, but if the rest of them are young.
I know, they're young. Yeah. You know as well as I do, though, if they do get them, they're recasting that whole... They're recasting everybody.
To be honest with you, I will, and I'm probably in the minority. I'm not a huge fan of was it Sophie Turner as Jean Grey?
Yeah,
I didn't like her as Jean Grey. That's just my personal opinion. But what I want to know is, am I going to get my Quicksilver? I want my Quicksilver from for Sarkovia that dies. I want him back.
Really?
I love him. And I don't know if there's a way that they can do it, but I want him back. The other Quicksilver, it was great in his own right, but I want my Quicksilver back. I want Scarlet Witch's brother back. So
you might get him back.
I'm hoping. I'm hoping that they can work that in somehow to the story.
See what happens,
you know. So, but
Jeremy also threw out there the NECA online fiasco.
It was not that big of a fiasco for me. So, it was actually very simple.
You got them?
I guess I did.
Wow, I wanted them.
Yeah, well, I got a private message from Michael Redding saying, "Hey, my wife accidentally bought two. You want one at cost?" Yes, honey. What do you get me for Father's Day? I told you four times that I didn't know. You were supposed to tell me. How about a NECA turtle set? How much? $137. Done. Okay. Yeah, Michael, I'll take it. So guess what I'm getting for Father's Day?
Nice.
Yahtzee. So.
Nice.
Well, Jeremy was trying to get one for me and one for him.
Mm-hmm.
As I told you to try to get one for me too.
Yep.
Were you successful? No.
Never even found the link.
Really?
I went to it one day to try and anyway, it wouldn't have mattered.
And he was going to buy seven because he was like 100 times seven. That's like $40. So I'm just going to buy them. So. the site went down
3 days in, no the site went down 3 days in a row. They had, I mean, you could get a chance 3 days in a row. Every day what I heard is it sold out in 2 minutes.
Yeah, 1 to 2 minutes was what I saw.
So I mean,
how is that a fiasco? I mean, it's a fiasco for people that want, you know?
The people that wanted them aren't going to get them is part of it. But
well,
from NECA's standpoint, selling out of all of your product quickly is the opposite of a fiasco.
Yeah. Well, they're San Diego Comic-Con exclusives. They're going to be at San Diego Comic-Con. They're going to be exclusives. They shouldn't be easy for people to get.
Right.
I mean, agreed. I hate to say that because I would have liked to set.
Yep.
Well, thanks, Michael Redding.
Yeah, Michael Redding. Thanks for helping Pete out. But, you know, hey. Good. You know, I never done
you have three for Ninja Turtles in your entire collection.
You have a yeah. guy that wants to feed you Orcos while you play with your Fisto.
Well, that's just that's fucked pretty up. Cool. That's pretty cool. But, you know, I could have used that set. No, yeah, see.
The exclusivity is what makes the sets are great. What makes them phenomenal is the fact that they're hard to get. That's the nature of any of these toys. You take two of the exact same figures and you package one in a double pack and one in an SDCC box. Everybody wants the SDCC box, even though they probably get the double pack at Target for $40 and it's the same exact figure. It's the exclusivity of anything, and that's what people want. And hey, people that didn't get it, I feel for you, but I got one, so eat shit. I got one the easiest of easy ways. So
Darren Denzer, he jumped in on the top 10, which he threw out some top fives. One of these I think we should probably just discuss. He had a couple ideas, but top five toys you're looking forward to coming out later this year. I thought that one is a pretty easy one for me because of Marvel Legends. I mean, I just thought that Venom wave. And then you throw in the X-Men wave, you know, Omega Red. I mean, there is a bunch of figures that are coming out that I am super stoked for. So I think that's going to be my answer to that. You know, I'd have to pick five from those, and which would be really hard for me to do. But
I'm looking forward to the Mezco 112, the Netflix Punisher. I'm anxious to see what they can do with that, with, you know, having that real actor. I think they're going to knock that out of the park.
It's funny because where I'm at in my collecting habits these days, everything I pretty much get mostly is stuff I've pre-ordered. You know, the Mythic Legions, the new Masters of the Universe classics that I'm getting from Super 7. All that stuff, it's coming, and I know it's coming. I've already gotten it and paid for it and blah, blah, blah. So I guess as far as like what I'm waiting on in the stores, I mean, I've already said I really want that Venom wave from Marvel Legends. That's going to be awesome. But I really can't think of one. Okay. I'm really excited about those Super 7 5.5-inch He-Man figures that nobody was able to get. Or very few were able to get, but they're going to re-release those all in single packaging. There was a two pack, a He-Man and a Skeletor, and then a She-Ra and a Hordak, which I did get in on the She-Ra and Hordak. So those will be coming in the mail someday.
Are those the ones that Justice has on his? No, those are bootleg 5-inch ones from like.
No, they just or something. They're just modern versions of that look like vintage figures. So yeah, it's really hard. I'm really excited about my Mythic Legions. I'm really excited about everything I've got coming to me.
You have any hot toys coming?
Jedi Luke, yeah, he's coming sometime.
I can't believe I can't believe it took you that long to get a Luke in your hot toy collection. I'm surprised that it took you this long.
So. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, it's my third Luke, but hey.
Yeah, well, you're the one saying it. I know how many Lukes you have. It's like all the whole world of hot toys you keep.
I didn't
Lukes.
Get the Luke that they just destroyed. They killed the old man Luke. I didn't get that Luke.
You think you just like buy extra outfits for your current hot toys
and then dress them
like you did with your Barbies?
That would have been awesome, really. So no,
like hey, this is Hoth Luke, and this is Bespin Luke, and this is Luke post coitus with his sister Luke. You know what I mean? You could change it up like for different weeks of the year. It'd be kind of fun.
Have you guys seen the Logan on a motorcycle?
Okay, first off, I got to go one back. You can't give me a face like that. I watched you comb your Wookiee's hair. So you can't look at me like that when I talk about you dressing your hot toys.
I had to comb
it. You combed his hair.
I had to comb it.
Well, you don't get to stink eye me for suggesting you should dress your hot toys.
I can stink eye you for whatever I want. This is America.
Well, is it, what Wolverine is it? Like old school looking Wolverine?
No, he's in a wife beater, blue jeans.
Okay.
Yeah.
and it's gonna be like the one that the Ghost Rider and Black Widow. See, I'm down for something like that.
It looks awesome. Looks absolutely
awesome. I really kind of want him in his Chrysler 300 limo from Logan. That would be kind of fun.
That'd be interesting.
Right. Like a Barbie Dreamhouse limo.
Darren had a couple other suggestions that Pete is going to put in his box for see if when he needs some help with his top tens. Harley and Michaela Jackson said, "What do you guys think of that chick from Star Wars who plays Rose getting harassed so bad she left all social media?"
Yeah.
I know nothing about this other than what you just said, and I would say toughen up, chump. It's fucking social media. So what were they upset about?
She was the victim of a lot of fans. This Star Wars fandom is really in a kind of an unhealthy place right now. She was getting a lot of racial, sexist remarks tweeted at her. A lot of people who didn't like The Last Jedi, well, I shouldn't say a lot of people. I think this is actually quite a minority of people in the Star Wars fandom. You've got a lot of Star Wars fandom out there, a lot of Star Wars fans out there. And I think, you know, even the smallest percentage of that still leaves a lot of Star Wars fans that can be assholes. And she was just getting raked over the coals, and she has gotten raked over the coals a lot by the people that do not like The Last Jedi and for some reason want to take it out on her. I don't get that. I don't understand that in the least. I really didn't care for the, I could take or leave that Rose character as far as a character. What the actress has to do with that is absolutely nothing. I don't know why any idiot would take to social media and attack her for being Asian or a girl or whatever they want to get her for. That is the stupidest thing in the world. It is totally asinine. And I believe that because it's so stupid, it's got to be a lot of just trolls. And so her leaving social media, and I don't know if she's ever really said that is. I've never seen a thing where she has made a statement that that's why she left social media or Twitter or whatever she left. But I got to feel that her leaving just lets those trolls win. They won. You let them get to you.
Right.
Hey, they can bully and they can, there's a lot of people out there. Yeah. There's a lot of people out there that didn't like The Last Jedi. I'm one of them. I really didn't like that movie so much. I don't deep to the bone hate it, but there's a lot of people that did like that movie out there. It's a very divisive, dividing, well, I guess that's what divisive means, movie in the Star Wars fandom. And she is taking a lot of the heat. And for some reason, I don't know. I just think that you put yourself out there. You're in a huge movie like Star Wars. There's going to be haters. We, if it ever gets out, we're heard it's going to get out, we're going to be part of a documentary here soon. And I'm fully expecting, and this isn't going to be nearly as big as a Star Wars movie, I wouldn't think. And I'm fully expecting for people to hate me.
There's people that already hate me.
Yeah, Pete was in it for like 2 seconds, and he had people calling him a pedophile.
Yeah, because that's because I know how to make do with my time. And you ding that bell, and I'm going to come out fucking swinging for your face.
You know,
I'm not dancing around in trunks. I'm coming at your fucking face.
So part of me, I think it's unfortunate that there's people out there that are that dumb. And then on top of it, it's like, I don't think that is representing Star Wars fandom as a whole. I think it's got to be a very small part of it, really. It's just that there's so much Star Wars fandom.
I really wish that every time like she paid somebody $10 an hour to reply to every bad comment everybody said, and all it was a screenshot of her contractual paycheck. You know, I can't believe it. Right. You were in a Star Wars movie and you made a ton of money and I should shut up.
Yeah, I hate trolls. I hate the trolls, man. Now I do agree with Pete. They got to toughen up a little bit, but I don't know what she's going through either. I find it absolutely ridiculous because even though I have my issues with that movie, she is not the person to blame. For sure.
So far from the person to blame.
Yeah.
About as far as you can get from the person. people to blame,
which is pretty frustrating.
And even them, I mean, people right now, I mean, they're attacking Kathleen Kennedy. They're attacking Ryan Johnson. We're even having the people that are working on the movies attacking the fans. It's just in this weird thing going on right now, and it's interesting that Star Wars can create so much passion, and then on the flip side, it's not always just passion. Some of it is, you know, there's negative, there's hate, there's a lot of feelings out there for that, and they're running pretty close to the surface everywhere right now. I've kind of withdrawn. I find myself being a Star Wars fan right now, just pulling away. I don't want to read other people's comments on things. I want to have my own opinion and just forget social media. And, cause it's really just, if you say you have a problem with something, 10 people are going to pile on and say, you're stupid cause you don't like The Last Jedi. And the flip side too. I mean, if you love it, then you get people attacking. It's just not healthy. Anyways, that's what I think.
J.D. Gibson and Jesus Rodriguez both wanted to go back to the Turtle set. And they both have a couple little interesting things, and I should have just threw these in the earlier, but that I think are worth touching on. J.D. said, topic on the NECA SDC Turtle set, 3-day sale, selling out each less than 1 to 2 minutes. And what do you guys actually think of the figures? So what we think of the figures. And then Jesus wants to know, can you guys talk about all the butthurt NECA fans over the set? That stuff was insane. I mean, at the end of the day, they're just toys, but it looked like these guys completely forgot about that.
My butt feels great. They're, you know, I obviously haven't seen them in person, but I mean, the pictures, they miniaturized the incredible giant turtles that we just got, and I'm anticipating them being absolutely awesome. So I was very excited about what I saw. I thought they did a great job with the box being the VHS case. I mean, they did some cool shit. So
I think they absolutely look beautiful. Yeah. The Bart Hurt stuff. I mean, as a seller, I love it. I mean, I didn't get any, so that part stinks. But that's part of what makes me being able to go to shows successful, is that the fans are so passionate, and sometimes you can't get everything you want unless you're willing to pay for it. So right. From that standpoint, I'm a dirty MF-er, man. Right. But
the figures look fantastic. I was a fan of the big ones, and they look just like those. So how can you go wrong?
Well, some of my favorite turtles growing up were the movie turtles, you know, the normal scale ones. They had the rubbery feel. They had that cool.
Oh, they're great figures.
They were just cool, man, yeah. You know. And I'm anticipating a NECA-ized version of those in my head, and I'm pumped. Yeah. So, and I'm just, I mean, I'm so thankful that I'm not any of you worthless assholes that didn't get any. So,
Dario Lorenzetto said
it's David Lasso. That's what it actually says.
It's not been a long time since I started listening to the podcast, so maybe you guys have already done it, but a top 10 80s movies.
Mm.
That'd be a pretty fun one to discuss at some point.
That would be.
Yeah. If Pete had seen eight or 10 80s movies.
Hey, spoiler alert. Number one, Rad BMX. Number two, Gleaming the Cube. Christian Slater, you know what I'm talking about? His adopted Asian brother gets murdered to make it look like a suicide, so he takes off on his skateboard to solve the mystery. Oh, you guys are in for it. We're going to do that. I might do a top 50 80s movies.
Gary had some toy drama. This is why figure grading is, for lack of better word, retarded. And it's a eBay listing of a 1985 Kenner Superpowers Firestorm that someone actually started on fire. Gary said, if a toy that has been set on fire can be graded, F you. And I guess I don't really know how to comment on this, except for I think it's really funny that someone burnt a Firestorm figure.
I think it's a joke.
It's a joke.
This dude did this for a joke. It's funny.
It's funny. It is funny. Now, he still did get it graded, but it's a joke. I mean,
it's a low grade.
It is a very low grade.
But, you know, realistically, I mean, we've talked about it before. I mean, the whole ruckus of grading figures isn't the price you pay to have it graded based on the grade.
I don't know for sure if that's the case.
Because I remember somebody saying that to me at one
comics,
point.
Comics, I know there was something like that, yes.
Because it's like, well, then, everything's going to be overvalued because they want to make more money. I mean, that kind of devalues the whole process.
I don't know if toys are done that way, though. But regardless, you know, this is my... Gary, I understand you don't like it. But then, don't buy them. You know, if you want graded stuff, buy graded stuff. If you don't want graded stuff, don't buy graded stuff. Who gives a fuck?
And don't ever, unless you want to, don't ever buy anything that's been set on fire. Graded or not.
I think we, the three of us at this table, are way too dumb to get in a graded, ungraded argument.
Yep, we are. But...
Oh, I'm smart enough to fight on anything.
Did you read that guy's ad?
I did.
It's pretty funny.
Is it?
Well, yeah, he's like, there's only one of these. I mean, how hard? I mean, he says that. There's only one.
Maybe, no, when I went to it, I couldn't find any comments like that in the description or anything.
Oh, it was hilarious. Really? He's like, somebody actually put lighter fluid on this and burned it. Where are you going to find that? Obviously, you could take a $15 figure and you could burn it yourself, but this one's already been done. So, and he's asking $800
for it.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
He refers to the figure mint on card as being worth $15, but he wants $800 for that because...
It's a custom.
Yes. I think the guy's hilarious.
It's funny. I thought
I want to hang out with him.
Yeah.
And I'll invite you, Gary. We can all hang out together.
And light some toys on fire.
It's interesting the wives get into this here, Courtney says, so you're out of ideas. So you're having others figure out the show now? Sounds lazy to me.
Yeah, as lazy as it is that we haven't had a Courtney's box in months. So,
true.
Oh, boy.
And that takes one Google search.
Elizabeth Carey said, how high can you usually count to? Which I find interesting because Elizabeth can't even spell her name right.
True. Hezbollah, Iraq?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm assuming that is a thinly veiled insult at the fact that I didn't know if it was episode 104 or 105, but I don't think that's necessarily my ability to count. It's my ability to give a fuck and remember. So it was a noble attempt, Hezbollah.
Ben Sashi, see? What is one toy line that you didn't have in your childhood that now sparks your interest in your adulthood?
I didn't have. I always go back to Jace and the Wheeled Warriors. I always thought that those things were so cool, and I thought that the intro to the cartoon was so cool. I never had one of them. And I that would be one I didn't have that definitely I have an interest. Like if I saw some at a toy show, I would definitely look at them and I would be like, maybe I should buy these, but what am I going to do? Where am I going to store or where am I going to display them? That would be the thing that would stop me from buying them, but I definitely have an interest.
He would use his clout as a vendor to get a guy to hold it for him and then come back and try to lowball him on the price.
I didn't do that.
You did do that.
I misremembered.
Not knowingly. You didn't knowingly do it. But I can't think of anything I had as a kid that I don't have now. I mean, as a kid, I never had anything Marvel. I never had anything like superhero, you know, that I can recall. But I mean, Turtles, Transformers, Toxic Avengers, Cowboys and Mumesa, Legos. I mean, I had all the stuff, Mighty Max, all the stuff I'm collecting now, I'm collecting from my childhood. So...
You know, I think for me, it's probably going to be Shogun Warriors, and I haven't bought one, but every time I see them, I am really excited about them, but I would only buy them if I found them dirt cheap, so that's why I don't have any.
And then would you flip them?
It would be hard.
What? You have to...
They're like 16-inch big robots.
Okay, that's... And yep. I was thinking... You said Shogun Warriors. I was like, those are like those Godzilla robots, right?
Yeah,
okay.
And then Godzilla, you know, also came out in that line. And my cousins had the Godzilla, and they had one of the robots. And I loved going over there and playing with them. I never had them, but my cousin David certainly did. And they're great, absolutely great toys. But like I said, I'd have to get them really cheap, and then Steve did just bring up a great point. Even if I got them so cheap, it would be hard for me not to just flip them.
Well, especially too, because you're getting out of 16-inch scale, so that's
Harley Michaela said, "Hey, Pete should do a top 10 heralds of Galactus." To which Gary replied, "I could say with utmost confidence, besides Surfer, Pete has no idea who has and has not been a Herald of Galactus."
Well, Michaela, I appreciate your question. Gary, fuck you. You know what? I sit back and call me tomorrow and all you want, but all it's going to do is make me do research. So you know what? I got on the Google on the internet machine. You know what? I compiled my top 10 list of Heralds. Are you ready, Gary Rickleman? All right. Number 10, Harold Potter. Teenage witch who grew into adulthood in front of gaggles of fans, who was famous for Quidditch and never betting Hermione. Number 9, Prince Harold. Married a deal or no deal hottie that he knows how he never touched. Number 8, Harold Reynolds. All-star shortstop and my favorite Baseball Tonight analyst. Harold Anderson, whom you know as Judge Harry T. Stone from Night Court, and also Richie from the original It. Harold Houdini, the most famous magician of all time. Known for some of the most groundbreaking illusions, but not known for his ability to take a punch. Harold and the Hendersons. Family-friendly Sasquatch from the 1987 classic with John Lithgow. Oh, Jesus. Harold Ramis. Beloved actor, known for his role as Seth Rogen's dad in Knocked Up, and of course, Egon from Ghostbusters. Harold Styles, founding member of One Direction, who went his own direction, but is still one of England's sweethearts. Harold Truman used his veto 180 times more than any other president. And number one, beloved and famed baseball announcer and love of all things Cubs and Budweiser, Harold Carey. And now we'll have our own seventh inning stretch. And I'm stretching my middle finger to you, Gary. I don't know Harolds. I know plenty of Harolds. Thank you for the question, Michaela. And truth be told, you're an asshole, Gary, because I knew Silver Surfer and I knew Nova. He was on there. Hold on. I got this figured out. Hold on.
He's still figuring things out.
I'm still figuring things out. That's how I roll. Silver Surfer, I knew. Terax, I knew. Nova, Morg, Johnny Storm, I know. So, yeah. And realistically, you know how hard it is to do a top 10 when there's only 6, 9? There's only 12 anyways. There's only been 12 Heralds of Galactus in the Marvel 616. More than half of which are deceased. So, that's my top 10.
Well, good job, Pete.
Top 10 Heralds.
More questions?
That actually is it.
It is?
You know what? There is a, I thought it would be kind of neat, is if we brought up your thing you posted, though.
Okay. Let's talk about it.
I don't know if Pete got a chance to check that out.
I did. I read it. You'll have to revise me.
Steve posted a picture of his...
having more fun now than we did then.
Yeah, exactly. He posted a picture of one of his walls in his toy room, and he said, "Could we possibly be having more fun with toys now than we did as kids? We can do so much now that we couldn't as children, like army build and get those pieces we could only dream about as kids. Plus, there is that community of people you meet in the hobby. What do you think?" You know, there is a lot of comments on this, but I'm kind of interested in your comment, Pete.
It's apples and oranges. It's two very different scenarios wrapped around the same common thread. I do agree that with one of the comments that we don't play with our toys anymore. We don't use our imaginations. We're not out in the dirt and the snow, and we're not doing all those things like we did. We're remembering those hours of fun that we had. The nostalgic feeling is remembering those good times with them now. The quantity that we have and the quality that we have of toys is very different. But the social aspect of collecting toys, then we were never collecting toys. We were buying toys to play with. And that social circle was very, very small. It was my younger brother, Adam. It was your older brother. You know, it was your cousin, Trav, you know, and you couldn't steal his Shogun stuff. So I'm sure you probably broke it out of spite at some point. But, you know, it was a very small social circle. Well, this is a means to an end. This is a reason to get together and do fun stuff. And it's a reason to socialize and hang out with fun people, and hang out with people that aren't fun. We've got a few people in our circle that are asshats. And I don't know how they find us. There's a great little skit about that Dane Cook talks about, and the character name he uses is Brian. And he's like, everybody's got a Brian in their group. And they're like, you know, they make plans. They don't tell him. Then all of a sudden hey guys, I missed you. Oh, fucking Brian's coming. And that's what happens in the toy world as well. But I've had a ton of fun, you know, like I said, doing the shows, talking about the stuff, looking at the stuff. And realistically, I'm the brokest motherfucker at this table. When it comes down to it, I enjoy looking at all the cool stuff that you guys get. I've probably got 6 or 7 cool pieces of yours, Travis, that you don't know I even took, because you literally have so much stuff. You have no idea what you even have. And because you don't have any style of invoicing or tracking your money, you don't even know they're gone, which that's great for me. But, so I get it. Like I said, but to me it is apples and oranges. Toy collecting is adult softball. It's wheeling Jeeps. It's paintball. It's an excuse to get people together that you enjoy spending time with. And it gives you a topic of discussion, and it gives you something to talk about. And then that spreads into everything else. We end up meeting families, and we're doing movies, and I literally went to fucking Mexico with you, Stephen, and had a vacation with you and your wife. I brought my wife because we met each other because of toys, you know? So it's so much bigger than that. The toys are the kind of the catalyst, but it's everything else that goes along with it. Realistically, if something happened and I couldn't buy any more toys, I'd still go to shows. I'd still hang out with you guys. I'd still do this podcast. The listeners are used to me going 10, 12 episodes without getting shit anyways. So it'd be nothing new for them, but so that's where I'm at. I do enjoy the occasional imagination from the old, you know, sitting down with Pearson and playing, you know, and coming up with that stuff, and you know, getting some of these new toys like the Mighty Max stuff, the little play sets, and goofing off with those with him has been fun. But his attention span is worse than mine, so it doesn't ever last long. But so the other thing, you know, the other social aspect of what, you know, things that we've done outside of the toys that it's kind of all interrelated is the gaming stuff. You know, I've got great friends that are like, you got to buy this game. It's the best game ever. And then you played it with me one time, Steven. So, like, you pre-ordered Call of Duty World War II, like, yeah, 5 months ahead of time.
I did.
And you've logged on one time and played with me.
Yeah.
So, I've got almost 8 days worth of time into that game, and I got no friends in there anymore. So, yeah.
Man, he was excited about that
game.
Though.
It's all he talked about. You got to get it. You got to get it. You got to get it. So, I got it. And then what happened?
They had the wrong jacket.
He was like, what? You gotta have PlayStation Network. Okay, fine. So I bought that too. Hey, let's play. I got a headset. Let's play. One time. I played with Steven one time.
It's just not fun to just die all the time. Let's start out. Let's spawn again. Foomp, headshot. Oh, that's great. Let's respawn again. Foomp, headshot. Let's try to go over. Everybody meet at this building. We'll all team up. Boom, boom, boom. We're all dead. I hate 12-year-old boys that can kill me so fast. It's not fun. I don't get it.
You think what you find, though, is it's kind of like a lot of things you do in life. The more you practice.
I don't have time to practice when my respawning time to death spawn is 2 seconds. How the hell do you practice?
I don't even die that quick on ship in 1944, so I don't know what you're talking about.
It's pretty quick. We were dying. Every time we played, we were just getting murdered.
Oh. Every time, that one time.
Yeah, yeah. And that one time was miserable. I just couldn't. You know, the time you lost your virginity was miserable, but you kept trying, Steven.
How were you there?
It was quick. That's what? Sure.
Were you there?
No, but I talked to her. She told me.
Oh.
Still haunts her.
You know what? I do think it's interesting, and part of the reason why I think Steve is going to be a huge part of the Plastic Crack documentary is Steve still does have that, like, childlike enthusiasm when he gets a new toy.
That's why he doesn't play Call of Duty, because he's literally playing with his action figures. Like, he'll go through his toy room once a week, and Fisto just knocks everybody down. You know what I mean? Just power fists everybody in the face.
Pete, I got to bring this up, because I know you don't listen to it. Podcasters? Yeah. of the Universe, starring Stephen Bisciotti and his boyfriend Jeremy DeWitt. They talked about if He-Man went against the Avengers. And one of them, I don't remember which moron it was, compared Fisto's glove to the Infinity Gauntlet.
No, I did not. It was Thor's hammer.
Oh, even better. It was Thor's hammer. They compared a metal glove to Mjolnir.
Why not? Why can't it be? What it's, you're talking about two mythological or two totally creative.
What's mythological about the fist? Never did I read anywhere where that fist was enchanted.
But I get it, because I mean, that's, you know, Hawkeye's arrow, and it's the same thing as, you know, He-Man's sword. I get it. Those things are, they're identical. That makes sense.
I believe I said, if, and I think Jeremy said, if we were going to make our version of He-Man, that's what we would make Fisto's fist like.
The Infinity Gauntlet?
No, like Mjolnir.
Oh.
Like just knocking things out.
They think Fisto pretty much going to beat the Avengers by himself.
Like, he could punch the Hulk. Like, remember in the scene in the first Avengers movie where Thor hits the Hulk with a hammer, and Thor in that shot, it's an awesome shot of the Hulk just kind of taking one.
Right.
That's what it'd be. I could see that same scene, but Fisto hitting the Hulk instead. Wham!
God, you are a sad little man.
So sad. Their childlike lenses of He-Man is unbelievable. Well, Cyclone, I mean, he's going to take out Iron Man for sure. I mean, he's gonna put him in a tornado.
Right.
He's going to put him in a tornado.
Dude, if you are rotating like that.
I'm telling you right now, anybody who happens to land in the water, Merman's got him. So if Fisto can just punch him into the water, Merman's going to take him out. It's just how it's going to be. So,
oh, my God. It hurt me. I actually was in pain. Because now, I understand that they're mentally challenged, okay? I totally get that, okay? Their love for this guy running around in his underwear, they are so in love with him. I
and
get it.
And it's furry underwear.
Yeah. I so understand it. But they love Avengers. They've seen these movies. They talk about, this whole conversation centers around the Hulk, okay? Right. Obviously, I'm a Hulk fan.
Right. Well, I mean, Ram Man's going to take out the Hulk.
Exactly.
You know what I mean, that's
right. Just Ram Man's going to take Hulk out. No problem. It's not even questionable.
He's going to ram him right through Eternia.
Ram Man is like Motu's Juggernaut.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just take him right out. Out.
Oh, yeah. Done.
Yep.
Yeah.
Out.
Totally get it.
Yep.
Yeah.
They never talk about Thor. They never talk about Iron Man. The two guys that we've seen in the movies beat the Hulk.
Right.
Yeah. Nah. Yeah.
You know what? We podcasted that episode at your house, and you were invited to be a guest. You could have been on and been your side of the story.
It would have ruined that podcast. It would have ruined it. Because there's no way I could have kept a PG filter on as I sat there and watched you two naked buffoons have that conversation.
Could you imagine Orko trying to get up the courage to blow up the vision stone in his head? You know what I mean? He's the only one power enough to do it, Trav.
The idea was He-Man has to pick his five Masters of the Universe characters.
He's going to pick bad guys.
To help him. He's got the whole library.
He would. I mean, he would just...
Well, you've got to pick bad guys. If you pick a good guy like a Batman, he's not going to hurt anybody. You can't pick anybody from G.I. Joe. They don't hurt anybody.
He-Man and his five picks... to take on the Avengers.
Okay.
And they're the first Avengers from the first movie.
So Cap.
Yep.
Iron Man.
Yep.
Thor.
Yep.
Hulk.
Yep.
Black Widow.
Yep.
Hawkeye.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So He-Man plus six.
He-Man plus five makes six.
Excuse me. Yeah. So He-Man plus five makes his six. And who were the five?
Well, me and Jeremy picked our own fives.
Okay. So, who was your five?
By the way, they were both wrong.
My five? Geez, I'm... People listen to both episodes, now they're getting rehashed.
Those three people are going to be fine, Steven.
I picked Rio Blast.
Okay.
Because he's just a machine of just laying out.
Okay, Iron Man puts him down. Next.
I picked, who did I pick? Trying to think. I picked him. Oh, Leech. Leech from the Horde.
Okay.
Leech, because Leech can suck. Like, he can grab a hold of somebody and suck their power out of them.
Okay.
And just drain them to nothing.
Yep, and as soon as he latches onto Cap, Cap knocks his head off with a shield. Next.
No, I'm not...
Yep, come on.
Knocks his head off? What? He latches onto Cap.
Leech lands on him. He goes wham with his shield. Head goes flying. Done.
He's got like suction cups. You can't just knock him off.
What? He's got no head, I think.
At the end of the day, yeah, once the brainstem is disconnected, there's no more suction. Everybody knows that, Steven. The quickest way to release suction is brainstem. That's it. We know that. That's a fact. Okay,
Beastman.
By the way, he said Leech was the one that was taking out the Hulk, too.
Yeah, because he was going to drain him so far he turned back into Banner.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so Beastman, all right?
Beastman, not only do you got to take on that animal, you got to take on any animal around because he can control all the animals around him.
So if they're fighting in the jungle.
Oh, man. You know what? You know what we're going to do? We're going to stage, we're going to get the Avengers to come into a zoo. Yeah. That's what we're going to do.
That's what he said. Did he
really?
Said it.
Come on.
He said that.
Well, there is a zoo. Tigers, elephants. It's possible. Come on.
Okay. So then you've got Hawkeye. Okay. Hawkeye right through his eye, and then he just plunks out the animals as they're charging. Done. Next.
No. Okay. You're going to get every cat. Think of Phoenix. Think of 1,000 Phoenixes just clawing your brains out.
Where is there 1,000 Phoenixes anywhere?
And like, if they're, let's just say they're fighting in New York, if people have house cats, Beastman's going to be able to control all of them. Get over there and just
all of them.
One high rise is going to have how many cats?
I've never seen him control the whole jungle.
It depends on the neighborhood.
Animal, but.
He's controlled dragons, man. He's it's going to be crazy. And then you got Buzz Off and the big
the bee.
Yeah.
But think of this, he picks up Rio Blast, and now you've got an airborne assault guy just shooting.
Do you really, in your mind,
you realize Iron Man is already an aerial assault guy without somebody having to throw him, right?
Yeah. Now they can fight up there in the stratosphere.
Okay, so those two.
What?
Do you really believe those two beat Iron Man?
Well, Iron Man is going to have other things on his mind.
Those two.
Iron Man's going to be down there trying to get Leech off the Hulk. And while he's doing that, they're going to be shooting the hell out of him from the sky.
The fact that you really think the C-list character, Leech,
C-list?
Is fighting the Hulk.
Okay, but
and winning.
But here's the deal. So if you go with your idea that Beastman can control all the animals around, then everybody has to be able to do the same thing. So with that line of thinking, Beastman can control house cats. So Thor goes, oh, and guess what? All those warriors come down from Asgard and they're done.
No.
Oh, so Beastman can control a house cat.
That's his power.
He opens up a fucking rainbow to Asgard.
How about
he never did that in the movies. Why would he do it now?
His warriors helped him in the movies.
1,000 cats.
Heimdall and the guy with the beard and the hot chick.
On Asgard. He was up in Asgard.
Destroyer, and they fought the Destroyer.
He never brought...
Now with his new hammer, he could control the Bifrost.
Yeah. Stormbreaker.
I said Avengers 1.
Well, you didn't say, you said the cast from Avengers 1. You didn't say that back in time. Regardless. Okay, 1,000 cats coming at Thor.
So he spins his hammer, and guess what? Pussy flying galore.
Yeah, but he's a good guy. He's not going to want to hurt all those cats. He's going to have PETA against him, and everything else is going to be horrible.
I don't mind hurting cats.
I consider myself a decent guy, and I hate Phoenix. So, okay, so Buzz Off, we got two more left. Obviously, He-Man was one of them. Who was the last one?
Gosh, who else did I pick?
Rio, Leech, Beastman, Buzz Off, He-Man, and who?
Cyclone.
Cyclone, that's right, Cyclone.
Cyclone.
Yeah, okay. And he spins around and he just does damage.
Right, he spins around, Hulk jumps up, lands on him, and then moves on to the next guy.
No.
It's yeah, just like... crushes
and him.
And
then
right
you
got to
deal with He-Man himself.
I think He-Man himself is the real threat here.
Yeah, but at this point, all of your other side string bullshit, they're all dead. So now it's He-Man versus 6 Avengers.
And let's just be honest, it's He-Man versus 4 Avengers.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Right. Because at this point, Hawkeye's out of arrows.
Yeah.
You know, he can only carry 12 arrows, 13 if he jams them in there.
Is He-Man going to hit a woman?
Probably not.
Oh, then he's toast because Scarlett
Johansson's
going to
take him
out. But he might
disarm her. She'd probably get the hots for him and want to get with him anyways. She wouldn't want to fight
you.
Him.
She's not you. Okay.
She doesn't have much of a sex drive. They sterilized her in the Red Room, so.
Oh.
Which is a damn shame.
The Red Room. We just say that. Like, do we really know what the Red Room was?
Yeah, she told us.
Yeah, that's where they.
I was sterilized in the Red Room.
Why is it? Was it painted red? What did they call it red for?
I think that's just the.
I think that's you trying to change the topic because I just totally annihilated your.
I don't feel that you did.
Podcast of the universe.
And that's not even Jeremy's list. He had Extendar.
Oh shit!
He can go all night.
Perfect.
Tower of Power.
Luke Kulikamp sent me a private message, which I'm thankful I remember. He said, Travis, would you rather have the best setup at the show? Oh, sorry. Would you rather have the best setup at the worst show or the worst setup at the best show? And I could tell you from experience, I did a show where I felt like I had the best setup, but it was the worst show.
And then you've had some where you're like, I got extra tables, dump those totes out there, and you made a mint.
Yes. I easily would say I want to have the worst setup at the best show. Because the show is really what matters. If you don't get people through the door, and when I say people, the right people, it don't matter.
And realistically, people love to dig. People love to find things. They love to move stuff and find other things. Hidden gems that are good prices that, oh, nobody saw this. And they feel like they won the day. So.
But that won't stop him. Next time when we're setting up, for him to walk up behind me and take a picture, take a figure and move it from one peg up one peg because he thinks it's going to sell better from, yeah.
Right.
And redo right. everything I've done.
Right.
That's not going to stop that shit.
I love it when he does that and I go, hey, you just put a $10 figure in front of a $40 figure. Oh, yeah, we should have the 41 out front. That's why I had it out front, Trav. I understand the concept of what we're trying to do here. So.
Can't argue with you guys.
Hey, put all the DC stuff together. There's four figures, Trav. What the fuck do you want me to do with these four figures?
Yeah. All right. That it?
Thanks, listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it, I think.
They came through.
They did.
They
did. That was awesome.
We almost didn't have a show.
Thanks, Michaela. Is there anything coming up? I mean, obviously, Ant-Man and Wasp is coming up. Anything else that coming up movie-wise that we're excited about?
Well, we're gonna make an effort to watch Cloak and Dagger.
Yes.
Pretty excited about that, actually.
Yep.
Heard good things.
Yep. I mean, from Gary. I haven't heard from anybody else, but, you know, I mean, obviously, Gary is the expert in everything that's ever existed ever. So, were you able to find it, Trav? Did you look?
I have not looked yet.
Okay.
And I know sometimes it takes for that stuff to show up on, like, on demand. It might take a week.
Right.
Who here has been watching the toys that made us second?
I have not picked up the second yet.
I watched the Lego episode.
You did?
Yep.
Is that the only one then? From the second run?
I'm pretty sure it's the only one I've watched so far. I really enjoyed it.
It was pretty cool.
Yep, it was really cool and kind of like shocking how up and down that company has been.
Yeah. I just thought that they've been like a force to be reckoned with.
Thought they're always the monster.
Yeah.
I could see that being a real ebb and flow. They've got so many marketing or licensing deals now, though. I mean, that's a big deal. When you've got Harry Potter and you've got Marvel and you've got just a ton of stuff.
Well, that's kind of what saved them.
So what's interesting, too, though, they also talked about how when there'd be a year when a movie wouldn't come out.
Mm-hmm.
There'd be no Harry Potter. Right. There'd be no Star Wars.
Right.
And how all of a sudden, holy shit.
Right. But you know, I wonder too, the Lego movies, those are super popular and they're super fun. You know, I mean, they really kind of, they're marketing people of, hey, how do we get the brand out there and do something different? I mean, they took something that was a toy medium for 30 years and then all of a sudden redirect and get into a medium that they're totally unfamiliar with, and they knocked it out of the park with that stuff.
Those
video games are awesome for the kids. Yeah. My kids love playing those Lego video games, you know? So
the more recent years, I think they've just been killing it.
Oh yeah.
But there was
more pre Lego movies.
Right.
Yeah.
That's, you know, Pearson pulled out a set that he got for Christmas from grandma that had just gotten buried in his room that he never opened and built it. And he's like, Dad, this is all I want for my birthday. And I said, well, buddy, your birthday's in February. So it's going to be a little bit. Well, Christmas then. And that's all he wants, because he loves, this is the first Lego set he built by himself.
Yeah.
You know, he's to that point now where he can do the directions and he can do that stuff, you know, and I love that. Put the iPad down and build Legos, man. That makes me happy. So
I've watched all four. They're all good.
What's the lame one this time? Barbie was lame the last time.
Hello Kitty would Hello be the Kitty. One you would think is lame, but it's actually quite entertaining.
And I actually love the Barbie one.
The Barbie one is right. is good. Hello Kitty is just in a... It's got enough weirdness to it, because weird to us because we're not from, you know, that culture where it stems from. And
it's Asian, isn't it?
Yeah. And so, yeah, it was just... There was just interesting... Part.
Lori's super into that, into Hello Kitty. She's about the most un-Asian person I know. So,
well, it definitely now has permeated big time here. So, right. you know, I mean, but it's
is it a TV? Is there a cartoon? I mean, where did it come from? What I mean, what was its original platform?
Just a guy that wanted to sell cute things.
So he just basically made the logo and then started putting it on shit.
Pretty much. And then it was a real big hit over in Japan. And then they tried to make it a big hit over here, which struggled a bit. So it's a good watch.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna check them out. I just haven't yet.
Transformers was great. You didn't see the Transformers one even? That's the first one it's not the first one I watched, but of course that one was pretty good. I think that could have been 2 hours long.
I let Heidi pick.
Right. I'm still sad about the G.I. Joe one.
Sad about it?
Yeah. That one part where they're talking to the son of the guy who made it the 3¾ scale, and he took the 100,000 right then instead of 50,000 and then the money, and he would have, you know, made in between $25 and $40 million.
I think that was
that's a heartbreaker.
I think,
man.
That was a 12-inch guy, but yeah, I get it. Doesn't matter.
It wasn't. He was the guy that was responsible for taking it into the 3¾-inch scale and doing the new toys. And when he brought that idea to them, they said, "This is great. We're going to try to pursue this, and we for your idea, this is what we'd like to do. We'd like to buy this idea from you." And it was either $100,000 right now or $50,000 and then equity.
I'm going to say Pete's wrong, and that's going to be a fine.
Okay.
I'm not watching it to find out again. So.
So.
That guy
in particular was hailed almost kind of as the savior of things were down with the 12-inch. He was the one that, hey, bring it into the smaller scale to make it easier for kids to play with and what have you.
We'll see.
So, we will see. So, and Travis never said Hulkbuster, so I don't know why you're still busting my chops about that. So.
Oh, boy. Nope. And that's that. And, you know, another thing me and Travis both watched that we would have to recommend, if you like this stuff, is, you know, neither one of us are really pop collectors. I do like my Mike Brandis customs that, you know, he does of pops, but...
Well, yeah, because he makes like characters like Fisto that could take on entire universes.
Exactly. You give him some money, he'll make any character you want. But we both took in the pop. There's a Pops documentary that is on Netflix. It's quite, and it actually was recommended to me by Guillermo, who was the guy making our documentary. It's an hour.
We have
it's his
no,
documentary.
There's
but,
no nothing new on that. Nothing publicly new.
No, we're still waiting to hear. What's going on with that? But anyways, yeah, he recommended that.
I really hope my comments didn't ruin the whole project. Like, I hope they're not all like living in cardboard boxes now because of what I said about HIV and nut sacks.
I think they're doing okay.
I think everything's going to be fine.
All right. Well, I hope. I'd feel bad for 8-9 minutes if that was the case.
So.
Guillermo, you can always come live with me, buddy. Your accent turns me on.
I'll tell you that Pops episode Funko. Yeah. You know, making fun. I'll tell you, it was really good.
It's a fun watch.
You'd like it, Pete. You'd like it a lot.
Oh,
especially
yeah, sure.
Because you have interest in, you right. know, in those. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you don't realize how, it's very fun watching the company's
evolution.
Yeah, right. And the people involved.
Because it's Jesus. I mean, they literally have been that company that was like, hey, you know what? We think that we can... make a Funko Pop for every person who walks this planet.
But what will surprise you, is how much they did before they even got to Pops.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. I'll check that out tonight.
Before that even became part of their lineup. So it's interesting.
I mean, Funko in itself does a lot of things. You know, I look through my distribution, and Funko's got its name on a lot of products. Mm-hmm. But I think Amanda is up to, she's got to be close to 50 Pops now. I mean, mainly all Disney, you know, a lot of the princesses and the variations. And, but she enjoyed, you know, she goes to the shows now and she looks for them, and it's been a nice little bridge for us, you know. Still mad that she didn't try to talk that guy down off that $20 Ursula. She paid full price for it, but what are you going to do? You know, we'll teach her.
Whip
one
out your
other.
Wallet. Travis yep. style.
Yep.
Buy that sucker. Right. Don't ask the price.
Right.
Just get it. I like it.
Buy these on the table. All the total is, I don't care. Just swipe this. And I'm taking the table. So.
All right. I think that's going to be a wrap, guys.
Awesome. Well, wrapping up episode 104. Every time I say 104, I want to say 104.5 Sunny FM.
Yeah.
You know, the Hot 5 at 9. Grew up listening to that.
That's a local thing, but.
Yeah. Used to always be excited because I used to tape it, you know, on a cassette tape.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because when you wanted to hear Bone Thugs and Harmony's Crossroads, you wanted to be able to play it right now.
Shoot, you're so young. So. I remember waiting to press record with a tape, waiting for the song Kokomo by the Beach Boys. From the most made popular during the movie Cocktail with Tom Cruise and Elizabeth Shue. And I loved that Kokomo song. And I got that sucker and I got record, and it had a little bit of the DJ talking in front of it because they do that when they hit the post. And it was great. It was glorious when I got that.
Yeah, Bone Thugs is where it's at. So I remember waiting one night to get California Love, you know, Tupac and Dr. Dre. And just in case you guys didn't know this, both of those songs, if they were to come on the radio right now, I could still hit every single word because I'm that good. So,
wow.
At any rate, we're wrapping up the episode 104 of the Wife's Gonna Kill Me podcast. A little bit mellow, I think, compared to the last episode that we had when we had 87 people in here. But it's been a good time. We, the Wife's Gonna Kill Me podcast team, have designed some t-shirts. And they're very fun, and we're going to be putting those out for fans to be able to purchase with our likenesses on them, drawn by the incredibly talented.
Yeah, he's looking to you, Trav.
Chris Conlon.
Chris Conlon did those awesome, I don't want to call them caricatures, but the cartoon hero versions of us, which, I mean, still to this day are just some of the coolest things ever. So we're going to be doing that. We got some other things in the works. We're probably going to do another auction box here shortly. Michael Redding, we appreciate your support in that. And Kerwin, you as well. Feel free to start a smidge lower and try to get some more people involved instead of coming out of the gate at $50. Let's make it a real dogfight for this next box. Yeah, that's it. Travis Bowles, Steve Bisciotti, Pete McCarthy. Till next time, we'll see you guys in the Toy Aisle.